As a matter of fact, we got a guest speaker tonight. Why don't we just go ahead and stand on our feet or clap our hands, and let's welcome Minister Aquino as he comes to deliver the word tonight. Amen? Ah. Welcome.
Come on, let's give Jesus a great big praise. Amen. Ah. Hallelujah. We give you thanks, Father. Glory. Praise and glory to your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We lift you high up, Father God. We exalt you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Apostle and Pastor Lucia, for allowing me this opportunity to break bread with this lovely family of God. Hallelujah. Threshing Floor Tabernacle. Come on, if you're glad to be in this place tonight, go ahead and give God another great big praise. Hallelujah. Glory that we've got a place of worship, that we can worship him in spirit and in truth, that there's freedom. Hallelujah. And if we're in need of a miracle is waiting. If we're in need of a breakthrough is ready. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Woo! Bless God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. Glory. I'm going to stay within the time frame that I'm allotted tonight. Praise God. Glory. Praise God. Say this with me. Teach your children. Say it again. Teach your children. One more time. Teach your children. Apostle said it a few months ago that the first teacher to any child is their parent. And the thing about teaching is that you're teaching the truths of God. You're teaching the word of God to your children. God told Moses that this book of the law, to teach it to your children. Matter of fact, he says, when you wake up, teach it to them. When you sit, teach it to them. When they go to bed, teach it to them. Why? Why does he want us to teach our children? Because just as we've learned the word of God and we've learned the love of God and we've learned what God hates and what God loves, we need to pass that on to the next generation. Because if we don't do it, no one will. You can't depend on the church to teach your children. Yes, we do teach them. Yes, we have children's church. Yes, we'll teach them the word, but it's not until you teach them. Because there's an anointing on your life to be the teacher to your children, to be the instructor, to be the professor. Or else you start having schools like in California where they decide what to teach your children. They tell you and they tell your children what they feel is important to teach your child. And you would think that government, you would think that educated people would give educated information and knowledge. But that same education that they've been filled with to make their head haughty, it's the same information and the same, praise God, yuck. They think they're so smart that if they make up a rule or if they make up a declaration or they make a proclamation, the fact that they said it, it's true. No. We got to teach our children. As parents, we have to teach our children. Let me read a snippet. The framework gives tips for discussing masturbation. I hope your parents are ready because they're going to ask you questions about the words that are going to be said. And it's going to put you into a place where you have to teach your children. With middle schoolers, including telling them it's not physically harmful, and for discussing puberty with transgender teens that creates an environment that is inclusive and challenges binary concepts about gender. It challenges natural law. My daughter, sixth grade, she learns biology and science. She learns what makes a man and a woman. Seventh grade, she's brought into a classroom. She sits in the classroom and all the tables are set up in groups. And on the walls is 15 different genders. Bisexual, homosexual, lesbian, transgender, whatever other ones, they had it all posted on the wall. And as the teacher was passing out these cards with information on it, she passed it to one table, gave it to the student. Where do you think this definition or information means, and put it on the wall where you believe that it'll be on? Teacher went to every group, put five cards for how many ever people on that table, five kids, and goes and goes. And then takes a card and puts it on Michaela's desk. Michaela said no. She says no. Well, no, you're going to have to do it. Well, no, this is not what I believe. I will not participate. No. Michaela's trade A student. She doesn't want to do anything to ruin her grade average, but this crosses the line. She says no. The teacher takes it and gives it to the person next to her. And that person next to her says no. I'm not doing it either. Takes it and puts it to the other kid, up to the fifth kid, and every kid refused. There is a generation in this place that you have to go without fear and know what you've been taught and know what you know about the Word of God, and just hold fast to it. You won't have to argue. You won't have to praise God. You don't have to build up a case. All you got to do is stand and say no. Well, why is Michaela so bold with her faith or with that stance against it? Well, somebody taught her at home. I didn't wait till BET or MTV or cable to teach her what transgenders or what the LGBTQ, however far it goes. I told her exactly what that is. When I was about 12, I had a conversation with God because I had homosexual family members. I had an aunt who was a lesbian, an uncle who was a homosexual. And on the way home from the city, I sat there in the back of the van, and I'm staring out the window. I go, God, why is it that they go? Why is it that they do what they do? At one point, she was heterosexual. At one point, he was heterosexual. What pushes someone to that place? I love God. When you ask him a question, he gives you the truth. I said, God, what is it? What's the problem? Because just being a fornicator, being heterosexual, and having sex outside of the covenant marriage of God, that's just as bad of a sin as being a homosexual. So I asked God, I said, God, what is this? What is, why is it? How far? Well, you go and you try to satisfy your flesh. And at some point, it's not satisfactory anymore. So you search again to try to satisfy your flesh. And then it becomes unsatisfactory. And I'm going to try more. So you continue to satisfy your flesh that is never satisfied. The more you feed it, the more it'll eat it. We need to teach our children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 1. And these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgment which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whether ye go to possess. Verse 2. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the day of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, verse 3, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee. in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Verse 4, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. Verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Well, no, this is a great opportunity for us to open up a private school. This is a great opportunity to take our kids and put them in private school, put them away from all this darkness that's going on out here. No, that is not the answer. The answer is not to put them all aside, away from what's happening here on the earth. The answer is teaching them at home, and they may infiltrate their culture and their generation and speak truth and cause people who are once bound now be free to be able to freely open up their mouth and proclaim and declare the year of our God, so that their generation that is before them would come to a place of freedom, come to a place of wholeness, come to a place of understanding. Because there was a city called Babylon. The very word Babylon means, in Hebrew, to pronounce it is Babel. And the definition of Babel is confusion. We have a lot of people, hallelujah. We've got a lot of confusion, hallelujah. We've got a lot of confusion because no one's standing up for truth. And if they are, it's being casted out to the side. We've come to a place where we decided that our knowledge and our wisdom and our technology surpasses what God can do for us in our lives. But no. Because there was a generation in the book of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, thrown into a culture that worshiped pagan idols. But somebody taught them at home. Somebody broke open the word and read word for word the word of God in the book of the law. Somebody taught them what Moses did. Somebody taught them how God created the heavens and the earth. Someone taught them and took the time to open up the word of God to them, to let them know this is where you're from. This is your heritage. This is your lineage. This is the person you are. Not what the media wants them to be, not what the politicians want them to be, not what the teachers want them to be, not what entertainment wants them to be. No, this is who you are. They're confused. They're the ones that are crazy. They're the ones that don't understand. Hallelujah. You've got the understanding because you've got the presence of God over you and the blessing of God over you, as long as you do not allow the book of the law of God to depart from your mouth. See, they were thrown into the culture, but that didn't change them. They remained who they were and who they are. From a distance, there was a fire burning. It says the fire was so hot and so strong that the fire that King Nebuchadnezzar set for these three Hebrew boys, praise God, was about 102 feet in the sky. You can see it from miles around. And you know what the word was? Someone didn't bow. Somebody didn't give in to the image, the graven image that the king had set before the people. And when that sound sounded, they didn't dance to the music. They didn't go and bow and begin to worship. It was a declaration throughout the land that when you hear this sound, to bow down and worship. And if you didn't bow down and worship, you'd be thrown into the fire. So you can only imagine the commotion in the city when all of a sudden a great beam of fire began to blow up into the heavens 102 feet high. Well, who didn't bow? That was the conversation in that time and at that hour. Who didn't bow? Why didn't they bow? Why did they not bow? And I believe that more likely there were some Hebrew kids out there that bowed. They said, well, this is the law of the land. It's okay now because it's been made law. Oh, it's law to have, hallelujah, weed all the time. You want to have weed when you're just sitting back and chill. It's the law of the land now. No. Because we have a greater standard. There's a greater expectation for us. We need, this is an hour and a time that we as a church and the body of Christ need to be sober. So with the fire beaming high and the conversations throughout the city, who didn't bow, who didn't bow, who didn't bow? It must be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the three Hebrew boys. They probably didn't bow. Well, let's go find out what the commotion is. Let's go find out why the fire's so hot. Let's go find out what's going on over there by the king. And the king is infuriated. It's getting good. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 3. Verse 12, we're just going to read through this. Therefore, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. 13. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. 14. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Verse 15. Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, all the kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image, whether thou hast set us up. Whew. So he said, whether I won't bow, and if you put me into the fire, I still haven't bowed. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a conversation amongst one another. Well, Shadrach, are you going to bow? No. Abednego? No. So what are we going to do? No, we're not going to bow down when this music comes on. When they begin to do it, no. Well, what? Because I'm a child of God. Last time I read the word of God, it said, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. Isaiah 43:2, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither shall the flame kindle upon me. They knew their word. Oh, was this written after this? No, this was written 100 years before this situation and this event took place in Babylon. But they knew, they remembered a word. Father, even if I go through the fire, the waters won't take me. Hallelujah. Oh, Father God, if I walk through fire, I won't even be burned. I won't be burnt up. I won't even smell like smoke. No, I remember what I was taught. I remember what I was taught that when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest, what'd you say, Abednego? When we walketh. Oh, what'd you say, Shadrach? When we walketh through the fire, thou shalt not be burnt, neither thou shalt be... Neither thou shall the flame kindle upon thee. Somebody taught them. Somebody taught them. I'm not sure, Apostle, you could correct me if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure of any instances prior to that, prior to Isaiah speaking that very word where somebody walked through fire. No, but this word went forth and was prophesied to a generation yet to be born that was created to worship God, knowing that a generation was going to learn this, and one day they're going to have to walk through fire. But no, behold, oh, when you pass through water, you shall not be taken. If you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Oh, I can only imagine those people when Isaiah was prophesied. Oh, you're crazy, bro. You're crazy. Isaiah? Well, who's he talking to? No, there's a generation that needs to hear this, that needs to know that through the toughest times, through the most adverse situations, that someone's going to need a word to be able to stand on when darkness tries to overcome. That's why it's so important to teach our children. Teach our children how to have those conversations. They're never too young. Don't dumb it down. Don't water it down. Let them know exactly what the Word of God says. Because someone's going to think that they could teach a kindergartner what sex is all about, what their body parts don't add up to what they believe they see. Those conversations only gets easier once you start those conversations with your children. Yes, they're going through a change. Yes, your body's changing. Well, what does this mean? I'm a little confused. Absolutely. You're going through a change. What does this change mean? You're walking into womanhood. You're walking into manhood. Well, why is it that I'm attracted to the opposite sex? Why is it that all of a sudden I have likings for someone that I didn't have likings for before? Well, see, God's plan is that you be fruitful and multiply. But there's a way to do it God's way. And until you're ready to walk over that threshold of covenant relationship and marriage, then you're not ready to have intimacy with anybody else. Oh, why do I feel this way? Why do I look this way? God created you to look good for the mate that's going to find you at some point and will marry you. Well, why am I attracted? Because God wants you to be fruitful and multiply, but there's a way to do it. The plan is you wait till marriage. The plan is that you do it by God's rules and God's standards. Well, what about my cousin? They're not married. And what about my uncle? And they're not doing it God's way. The only way they'll be confused is if you never say they're not doing it God's way. If you say, well, that's just what they do, and this is what we know. Our standard is in the Word of God. Our safety is in the Word of God. Well, my friends don't understand it. Well, then you teach it to them. You let them know what they were made for. You let them know that when they have an attraction towards somebody, what the purpose of it is. had a conversation with a young man, and he asked me, you know, my friends are having sex. Does sex feel good? Yes, sex feels good. But there's a way and a plan for it, as you first must get married. Well, why does sex feel good? Well, God wants you to be fruitful and multiply. He made it pleasurable so that when you come together, you bear a seed, a godly seed that'll be mighty in the land. Simple. You teach them that now. Well, where do I start? Start at the book of Genesis, when God made the first man and the first woman. Start them at the beginning. Because once you build that foundation of wisdom and their strength and their faith, nothing will be able to knock that foundation down. They'll see a lie coming a mile away. Praise God. Are you still with me? Bless God. I'm going to continue on book on Daniel. Glory. Daniel 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and if he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it unknown unto thee, O king, that we will not bow and serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image thou hast set up. Verse 19, then when Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, therefore he spake and commanded thee that should heat the furnace one seven times more than it wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceedingly hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 23, and these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have not hurt, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. And the prince and the governors and captains and the kings and the counselors being gathered together saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was an hair on their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor smell of fire had passed on them. They weren't traumatized. There was no residue that they went through a fire. If it wasn't the fact that they would tell and those witnesses around would talk about it, they would have never known that they were in a fire, because they still had their hair, they still had their garment, they still had their well-being, and they still had their God. Whew. They still had their sane mind. They still had the peace of God and the joy of the Lord. Matter of fact, they even had the Son of God in the midst of the fire. Oh, praise God. So these young men were taught by their parents. They were taught by the leaders. They weren't thrown into Babylon to mix in with the crowd. they were set up for a purpose and a plan. That when that king turned it up even hotter, God got more glory. That when the king set up that graven image, God got more glory. That when the king had to ask them one more time, if you don't bow down, I'm going to have to burn you up, God got the glory. They didn't bow, they didn't bend, they didn't compromise. They knew who they were, whose they are, and what God was using them for at that moment and that hour. So don't be afraid and don't be worried for our children. Because this is an opportunity, a staging for our children to stand and declare and say no, but stand and declare the truth of God. And their peers will see them, and their peers will repent, and their peers will see that God is real in their life. That it's not a Sunday thing. It's not a Wednesday night Bible study thing. That they have a conviction that their God is God. And their God shall protect them. Whether the water get high. Whether the fire gets hot. Oh, that God is in the midst with them. And God will not show them to be ashamed. But God will show them just as they have boldly confessed that they know their God. Boldly before the public, before the people. The same as Jesus doing. Representing his people. Saying, God, oh, I know them. I'm not ashamed of what they are doing. What they are saying. What they are going through. I'm not ashamed of these ones that you've called not into the fire but out of the fire. Glory to God, Apostle. Thank you so much. I pray that blessed you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory. Good stuff.
Good stuff. Love you. Love you too, sir. Praise God. Amen. Will you bless? Stand on your feet and get the Lord a hand of praise and receive that word. Teach the children. Teach them diligently. Don't compromise the truth with them. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your servant, Minister Aquino. We thank you for speaking through him. We thank you that your word does not return to you void, but accomplishes what you please. For tonight, those watching Facebook Live, those watching Ustream, it's for you. And that word does not return to you void, Papa, but it accomplishes what you please tonight, and it prospers in the thing, in the people, and most of all in our children, this younger generation that is coming up, facing all sorts of perversion, lust, all sorts of corruption, that our children will come out unscathed, untainted, that our children will not be blemished, our children will not be marred, but they shall be a shining light, a beacon of light wherever they are and wherever they go. And we call our children who are strayed from the faith back to their borders, back to their first love, back into the fold in the name of Jesus. For your promise is, our seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. Oh, can you say that with me? Our seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. Again, our seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. One more time. Our seed shall possess the gates of their enemies. You know, I've been having you repeat some things because I believe it's important to say it. I believe it's important to confess it. I believe it's important to declare and to decree it and to call it done. And I believe faith gets produced even as you're saying it. I believe there's a strength that when you say it and you say it and you say it and you say it and you say it, everybody gets built up. Everybody gets edified. Everybody gets strengthened. Everybody comes alive to that word. Yeah. And whoo. A powerful word. So we thank you for what was released tonight in the house. And now we cover each and every one in the precious blood of the Lamb and pray that you see us all safely to our destination. That no evil befalls us, no plague comes near us, no hurt nor harm nor danger comes nigh our way. But you guide us safely to our destinations, I pray. The Lord our God bless you. and keep you and make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you and lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and over your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living, and above all else, you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers, that the gates of hell will not prevail against you, but you will triumph over the gates of hell, trample on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, so that nothing by any means hurts you. The Lord be with you everywhere you go. Bless the works of your hands. Order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with his eye. In Jesus' name, amen. Good night, Facebook. Good night, Ustream. We love you. Hallelujah. Be blessed. Thank you for coming out tonight. Hallelujah.